Today is Thursday, November 1st, 2007. My name is Sandy Fahler, and I'm an interviewer with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Oral History Program. Today, I'm interviewing Barbara Knutson, who soon will be retiring from the UW-Madison General Library System after over 40 years of service. She is currently a Library Services Assistant Advanced Lead in the Central Technical Services Department, which is housed in Memorial Library. Good morning.
Good morning, Sandy.
Hopefully these machines will work and we'll get through this interview. I'd like to start by asking you if you would talk about your early life, where and when you were born, talk about your family, talk about any people who might have influenced you in your career path.
Well, I was born in Madison, but I lived my early life in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin. I'm an only child, and let's see, I went to Sauk Prairie High School, was in the library club there. I seem to have taken the same career path my mother did. She worked at the University Library School and eventually worked in the school libraries out in Sauk Prairie, doing something very similar to copy cataloging, which is what I ended up doing. I'm not sure if there's an influence there. At one point, I was thinking of going to library school, but obviously I never did that.
Did your parents go to college?
No, my mother went to business college.
What did your father do?
As I understand it, my father bailed out of school sometime, but he wouldn't talk about it. I think he must have been around 16, but I don't know. He did not talk about himself, and that was that.
I see. What did he do for an occupation?
He was a salesman. He sold industrial cleaning supplies and that sort of thing to schools and factories, whatever.
And your mother didn't work while you were growing up?
She did
out
not.
Of the house, I mean.
Right. She didn't work while I was growing up. She did scout leader kinds of things and all the mother things that people did in the 50s. And then when I left home, she started working in the school library and eventually went to the public library, where she worked until it must have been about 2 years before she died.
When did you graduate from high school?
I graduated from high school in 1965.
And what did you do after that?
I went to the University of Wisconsin as a freshman.
Did you know what you wanted to be when you
when I grew up? I thought I did, and I changed my mind several times and ultimately just gave up and got a job because I did not know, and I was spending way too much money trying to figure it out.
When did you start working at, what was your first job?
My first library job?
Well, your first job.
My first job was in high school. I worked for the village clerk, and I typed things, basically. And then I went to the university and got a call from the subject cataloger, who was a family friend, and did I want to work for her? Well, that was simple, so I said yes, and in October I started working, typing subject cards and changing subjects on cards with my trusty automatic eraser.
And that was October what year?
Oh, 1965. Sorry.
So you started right when you entered the mm-hmm. university.
Yeah.
How many hours did you work?
Oh, that I don't remember.
Do you remember what you got paid?
No. I was thinking about this, and for some reason $1.10 an hour comes to mind, but I don't see how that could be. I have no idea anymore.
It's too much?
It sounds like too much for that time period. I don't remember what I made.
Okay. So you were a student at the University of Wisconsin. You were working as a student in the library. After a couple of years, you decided you didn't want to continue your education at that time. When did you then just stay working at UW-Madison at the libraries?
I did, but I got a full-time job as opposed to a student job.
And how did you get the full-time job?
Well, I imagine I took a test. I don't actually remember. I suppose I took a test and was hired in the acquisitions department by Reed Harsh. And started there it must have been the beginning of September in 1967.
Who was the director of the library then?
Lou Kaplan.
Okay.
And Dean Jenkins.
And who was his?
The power behind the throne.
And who was Dean Jenkins?
Dean Jenkins was the secretary and personnel person, and she just generally did just about everything that he didn't do.
Mm-hmm. And who was our head of the you said Reed Harsh was head of acquisitions.
He was the head of acquisitions.
Was there somebody that was head of all of Technical Services Division?
I think that would have been Frank Bright. And now that I think about it, Gary Nesseth was personnel, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right. Had you heard anything about the UW-Madison before you chose to go to school and work there? I mean, what is it? Why did you choose Madison?
I chose Madison because my grandma lived on State Street, and I'd been in and out of Madison all my life. And I knew it, and my parents, I thought at the time, were just crushingly old and really needed their only daughter to stay close by. And so that's why I picked Madison. I never really thought about going anywhere else. I didn't want to.
Describe your responsibilities that you had in your first permanent job. You talked about what you did as a student, but what did you do in your first real job?
The first real job. I was the mail table person in the acquisitions department. And let's see, I was responsible for making sure that the orders matched the books that we received, and the books that we received matched the invoices that we got, and that the payments got made eventually. In other words, it was an inventory job. Mm-hmm. It involved doing the problems that didn't come out right, doing something with them, and sorting out the mistakes, and a lot of correspondence with vendors. There were a couple of people who did the actual matching of the orders and the books. And when that didn't come out right, I got involved, I guess.
You were the problem solver?
I was the problem solver, yeah.
Okay. Can you remember who were some of the people that you worked with?
Ooh, well. The people who were, I can't even remember what we called them, but the people who pulled the orders and matched them to the books, there was Wanda Brogy and Nels Cyberlich. I'm blanking. That's all I can remember right now.
Did you stay pretty much in that same department throughout your career?
No. I stayed there. I don't remember when I went to the Mark department. That was in 1979. That sounds about right. Mm-hmm. I worked in acquisitions in that job probably about 12 years. And then I think in 1979, I applied for a transfer to the Mark department.
And what was the Mark department?
The Mark department was, was it the processing department at that time? Or was it Mark?
No, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Well, it was kind of a combination, wasn't it? Cataloging, copy catalogers, and processing, and
maybe so. It was basically copy cataloging that I did then too. That is so long ago.
What's copy cataloging?
Copy cataloging is creating records for our public catalog by using records that are provided by another institution, or in later years, OCLC. As I remember it, I came along just about the time that we were doing this online as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So I remember I had to do everything from computer printouts, which were generally terrible and hard to read, and we had to check every name form and every subject and every little dot through the official catalog. We had two big computers at each workstation. And one was for OCLC and one was for, was it Notice at the time?
That sounds right. Mm-hmm.
And we had to somehow move a record from OCLC into Notice, and the two computers were connected. It was all very cumbersome, as I recall.
But before that, now maybe you weren't doing copy cataloging before that, but before the automation came along, how was copy cataloging done?
I don't think I was doing it then. I think it was done from the large union catalog volumes, but I don't actually know because I wasn't doing it.
And talk about the library. Wasn't there, there was an issue of Library of Congress cataloging versus cataloging from other institutions.
Well, we were always supposed to trust the Library of Congress cataloging above all else. And if we could not find a Library of Congress record, then we were supposed to look at the contributed copy. In other words, records from other institutions, and see if we could manipulate that record to look like a Library of Congress record, basically. Mm-hmm. If we could provide a call number, we did. I think in those days, though, if there was no call number, we passed it on to someone else.
And somebody else
assigned a call number. We had original catalogers in the department, too, and I think that's where the call numbers came from, if we couldn't find one. The Library of Congress cataloging, we started out checking everything, and then as time went on, someone decided that it was probably good, so then we didn't have to check everything. We only checked some things, mostly the name forms, I believe. And we had to shelf list everything. We had to check the shelf list to make sure it wasn't a duplicate call number. And it was only some years later that the shelf list was actually online and we could check that way. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Do you remember why, when you said earlier that you had to sit there with two computers, an OCLC computer, which was Ohio,
no
computer
idea.
System outside in that was started in Ohio,
right?
And it was a database of contributed cataloging records,
right?
And then next to that was a Notice catalog. Do you remember what, or a Notice computer?
Mm-hmm.
What? Now Notice was that was our local system, correct?
Right. That was our public catalog system.
Okay.
And neither of these computers were computers. They were terminals. And they were linked to places I know nothing about. But we couldn't have both programs on the same, computer, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So they were linked in such a way that you could move material, data from OCLC into Notice, but not back, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, there was also, early on, there was what we called a terminal room down at the other end of the hall, which is where all the computer terminals were at that time. And then eventually they started buying more of them and setting them up, a few in each department. And ultimately, when I left, everybody had a computer, one computer.
So when you left, so you didn't? Did you do something else then? Did you make another change in your job?
No.
Oh, okay.
The changes were made around me.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of changes, but not made by me. I mean, the job just changed as information changed and computers got a little bit better, and we got down to one computer instead of two terminals.
Did the work get easier or did it get more complex? Were there more problems? Were there fewer problems as things changed?
I think it got faster and easier. There were problems, of course, but they're different. The problems are just different. It was easier in many ways. It's easier. You can do more numbers-wise. You can get a lot more books through with the current system.
Mm-hmm.
When we had, if you can check name forms online while you're sitting there, rather than running out in the hall and looking them up a drawer full of cards. It's certainly much quicker. Mm-hmm. You don't have to print everything. You know, now you click on the thing and it does whatever you tell it to do. I mean, it's like magic. In the early days, we had to print everything and take them to the official catalog, and then we had to go to the shelf list and make sure the call number was legitimate. And then we had to go back and do the book. You know, basically it was reinventing the wheel because we had to basically redo what we'd already done. Mm-hmm.
And now all of that's pretty much done.
It's pretty much automated. You don't have to do any running around. You can do it all when you're sitting there. You can check the shelf list online. You can check all the name forms online. You can make corrections if you need to. You know, you can correct the OCLC. Some people can correct the OCLC record if they need to, if it's wrong for some reason. Mm-hmm. You correct typos. You create an item record, and the book is out of there. Hmm.
Did the organizational structure change around you then too, as the job changed and the it became more and more automated? Did the environment change?
Oh boy, I think the environment changed. The library organizational structure increased practically exponentially, and I don't understand that stuff. But there are a lot more people running it now than there used to be. The departments have changed over the years. As we get new managers, they come in with new ideas and they throw everything up in the air and it lands somewhere else. And then we do that for a while. And it either works or it doesn't. We generally followed what other libraries across the country were doing. For a while, we had the processing department and the mark department and all that. And then we broke up into four what we called clusters, and they were subject-oriented departments. And each of those departments had acquisitions and cataloging and original cataloging within the department. And I worked in the science department, which meant that I cataloged books for the science libraries on campus. And there was the humanities cluster and the area studies cluster and the social sciences cluster. And they were all Memorial-based, and the science cluster was member library-based. And then some years later, that all changed again, and we went back to an acquisitions department and a catalog department, subdivided it to copy cataloging and original cataloging, and acquisitions was subdivided into, I don't know, they've gone through a lot of changes. There have been several naming changes and personnel changes, and I don't know, I haven't followed it.
But has yours pretty much stayed the same then for a few years?
For a few years, yes. Yeah. I can't remember how many years. Must be four or five at least. We were the copy cataloging department, and that's okay. And we cataloged supposedly for all libraries.
So technology, the way it sounds, actually brought some positive changes to what you do, because for one thing, physically, you could stay in one place,
right.
And a lot of the physical work that was done for you didn't have to worry about anymore. And it sounds like you could do, you know, almost follow, like do something from beginning to end.
Almost, yeah. In fact, at one point in all of this, when we were the sciences cluster, the original idea there, I think, was to have people trained to do everything from acquiring the book through cataloging it. I don't think we were supposed to be ordering it, but I can't quite remember. But in other words, we were supposed to be able to do the acquisitions functions and catalog the book all in one step. Well, that never did work. And as the computer systems got more and more complicated, the acquisitions module of Voyager, which is the second system, that got that is so complicated that not everyone, you just couldn't do everything. There's just too much to it.
Mm-hmm. So that actually leads into my next question. Were there some negative aspects of the technology changes? And I guess that's not really negative, except that it did affect people's work.
It did affect people's work. I mean, not everyone was immediately computer savvy. I mean, a lot of people thought the thing was going to explode if you did something wrong. Mm. And I think we've gotten away from that now, but initially training people to use the databases was difficult because people were afraid of it. Certainly people my age seemed to be, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then when we switched from NOTUS to Voyager, that was a huge project involving everyone and scaring the daylights out of everyone. The Voyager comes in modules. And the cataloging module made perfect sense, and the acquisitions module has been changed a couple times and is very complicated. Mm. And it's very time consuming, I think, to use the acquisitions module. But I don't know because I don't use it much. Right. You know, that's
okay. Talk about the facilities in which you work. Has the physical environment changed over the years?
The physical environment has changed many times. I've been all over third floor with various jobs, and I've lost track of how many times I've been moved. But I've literally worked all over third floor. We used to have a big room full of desks and no computers. And, oh gosh, we all had typewriters now that I think about it. I remember typewriters. Then eventually, let's see, that was at one end of third floor. Then I got moved to another end of third floor, and that's when we had the terminal room. And that's where all the computer terminals were. And we still had a big room full of desks and lots of people. And as things evolved, eventually we got screens, so we created our own cubicles. And once we all got our own computers, then we pretty much have individual workspaces now, which is actually a huge improvement. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of distractions. For a while, we had all of the computer terminals in the middle of the department, and you had to share them, which was fine, but it's not particularly efficient.
And now, can you do everything on one computer, on one terminal, or you don't have to? You don't have to use two, you don't
Nope.
have to transfer, everything's done on one.
Everything is done on one.
Do you ever use a typewriter?
I don't know where I would find a typewriter. I'm sure there's one somewhere, but it's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
When I started as a student, we had one of the original IBM typewriters. I mean, it was probably the third one off the assembly line. I don't know. It was really old. And eventually, actually, I liked that one better than the IBM Selectric I eventually ended up with.
Really?
Yeah. But it's been years since we've had any typewriters around. There's probably one somewhere in case it's ever needed, but it's pretty unusual.
Yeah. What about the card catalog? Is that gone?
The card catalog. Well, is it gone? I think it's still standing.
I think it is too.
It's the room that it's in is more of a lounge than anything now, but I think the card catalog is still standing. The official catalog is long gone. The shelf list is still standing.
Do you still use the shelf list?
I haven't used the shelf list in years. I suppose there are reasons to use it. But until the retrospective conversion project is done and everybody's comfortable with the fact that it's done, I think that catalog is going to sit there for a long time.
What is retrospective conversion?
RetroCon
yeah.
is a department within the catalog department, and what they do and have done is take a drawer from the shelf list and card by card make sure that volume is represented in the online shelf, in the online catalog and shelf list.
And if it's not?
Then they find a record and put it in there.
I wondered how they were doing that. I mean, I knew there was the RetroCon project, but I didn't know how they were doing that.
Card by card.
Wow.
Everything since 1976 has been online. But anything cataloged before 1976 was not in the database. It is now, but it wasn't originally. So you'd take a drawer and you would go through it card by card. And the cards, the OCLC cards from after 1976 looked a certain way. So they were immediately identifiable, so you didn't worry about those. Okay. But the cards from before that, you would search each book, each title, each whatever, and make sure that it was in the system. And if it wasn't in the system, you went into OCLC, you found a record, and you put it in the system with the call number that was on the card. I can't answer it, I'll tell you.
Yeah, hopefully now this will work when you turn it back on again. Would you talk about the culture of your unit? And by that I mean, if you could talk about how some things have changed. For example, do you work more independently today than you did when you first started, or do you have to rely more on your colleagues than you did when you first started?
I think that I have always worked relatively independently. It's probably, I think everyone now works more independently than they did. But I've always been, in all of these jobs, I've been the one who did the problem solving, or at least some of it. So that's a little bit more independent.
Do you have contact with people outside your department in what you have to do? Do you have to work with other libraries? I know you said when you were in a cluster, you did work for the science catalogers. Did you have to interact with them or interact with anyone else in Memorial Library?
When we were CTS Science, yes, we did interact with the member librarians quite often.
Give an example of something where you might have to...
Oh, well, if somebody in the biology library was looking for a particular title and thought it should be here, it was up to, they'd call me or email me or something, and I'd go find it for them and catalog it. I mean, they knew who to call to find something or to get something done. And we also knew who to ask a question of. You know, if we wanted to know if Steenbach wanted this book cataloged separately or as a series, we could call them and ask them. Mm-hmm. And the same is true with the memorial-based selectors, but I guess in my particular job, I haven't done so much of that. Now it's pretty much done. As I understand it, it's done by the acquisitions department before the book gets out of there, I think. Mm-hmm. I hope. And we do have to consult, or at least I always was back and forth with acquisitions, you know, with varying problems, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. What about supervision and training? Do you feel that you work under less supervision now than you did when you first started? Or has that not really changed?
I think, let's see. When I first started, yes, there was more supervision, I think. Now...
Was your work revised? Did somebody...
Occasionally it was, yeah. I seem to remember some of it being revised. Oh, filing. Public catalog filing. I'd forgotten about that. But that was revised.
That.
Oh, that was such fun. Would we have 2 hours a day or 2 hours a week or something? We had a section of cards that needed to be filed into the public catalog, and I guess you did it in however long it took you. And that was revised as you were being trained, and then it was revised occasionally after that. Wow. I'd forgotten about that for the moment.
But today your work is not revised?
No. It probably should be, but it isn't.
I doubt that. What have been the most satisfying aspects of your job? What did you like the most about it?
Books. I love books, and it doesn't matter if I can read them or not. I love them. I particularly like the science books, but that's all right. I just enjoy being around a lot of books. I've really liked the social aspects, the being around people of a big office, but in fact, that I think I'll miss a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's the books.
What was the least satisfying?
Oh, gosh. There are lots of personnel difficulties when you get a group of people working together. There are inequalities, perhaps, politics, frustrations like that that I'm not really willing to go into. And a lot of the time, the job was a little on the boring side.
Hmm. Was there anything you could do to spice it up a little bit, or?
Open the book. You know, sometimes just looking at the books or taking a break, going for a little walk around the third floor or Googling something, you know. That was the great part about the last few years, the fact that you're sitting there at this computer and if something comes along that you want to know more about, you could search it and find out instantly. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
That sounds like it would make it fun. You were employed when the Wisconsin State Employees Union Clerical Unit was formed. Do you remember that part? I remember that there was a strike at one point, and people who wanted to go to work and didn't want to strike had to cross picket lines. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
What do you remember about it?
I hated it. Mm-hmm. It was awful. I think there was a lot of bitterness for a long time afterward. It wasn't as serious, I guess, as many strikes that you hear about. You know, it certainly was not violent or anything, but there was some name-calling, and, you know, 30 years later or whatever it is, I haven't forgotten it, and I don't imagine anyone else has either.
So did you strike or did you cross the picket lines?
I'm afraid I crossed the picket lines. Now I'm not too proud of that, but I was not as brave in those days as I might be now.
Did you see the union forming as a positive thing?
I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea what I thought at this point. I don't remember.
What about years after? Did you see it as a... Did you think it had an influence on your work?
I think it probably had a positive influence overall. I think, however, that there was a lot of negative influence in that, as near as I can figure out, the union has, over the years, protected the worst employees and made things worse. Mm. That's my own opinion, and I'm afraid I'm stuck with it.
That's all right. You were also employed, Barb, during the time of the Vietnam War, and that caused a great deal of turmoil on campus. And I know some incidents happened in the library, too, or the fact that the library is right on the mm-hmm. on the mall.
The library mall.
Talk about that.
Well, I think I was pretty new then. It seems to me that the Dow demonstration we just celebrated 40 years, didn't we? So I wasn't employed real long when that happened. I remember looking out of the library windows and seeing people running from tear gas and police, and I thought it was extremely scary. But what was I, 19 at the time or something? I just wanted to bury myself in work and not know about all that stuff. I thought it was very scary.
Do you remember, wasn't there an incident with the public catalog of, it was before I worked there too, but of people coming in and dumping cards on the floor? Seems to me.
Oh gosh.
Maybe that was before, I think it was before my time, so it might have been before your time.
Well, you know, there was something, because I remember way back when something promoted administration to decide to send those cards out to be filmed and for a backup. I wonder if that was it.
I bet it was.
I don't remember what the incident was, but there was some reason why they suddenly realized that they needed to back up that catalog somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Well, I've come to the end of my questions for you about your job itself, but I don't want to go on to your life outside work and until I know. Are there any other things that you want to talk about your career at the library and your career at UW-Madison?
Well, I don't know. I never thought about it too much as a career, to be honest. It was a great job. And even when I hated it, it was a great job. The library was very good about flex time. And I think they're trying to get out of that now. I think that's perhaps not going to be forever, but...
Okay, talk about that, though. What kind of flex time did
well,
you have?
The union, as I understand it, negotiated a flex time agreement for central technical services. This is not for the public service areas, but we could work 40 hours between 7 o'clock in the morning and, I believe, 10 o'clock at night, I think all 7 days of the week. You know, or at least during certain hours. In other words, you had a lot of time to put in those 40 hours. And the hope was that you would create a schedule for yourself and try to stick to it. But people could work, you know, morning people like me came in at 7 o'clock for years and years and left at 3 or 3:30 or 4 or whatever. And other people came in at 10 o'clock and worked until whenever. You know, that was a great thing. It was a good place to work when I had a little kid because if I couldn't come in, it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have to be covered on anything. I could just call and say, my kid is sick, I'm not coming. And that's worth a lot. It was wonderful that I could arrange my schedule around my husband's schedule because his was not flexible. Mm-hmm. So if he was available to take the baby to the babysitter in the morning, I could always get off in time to pick him up at night. And that was worth a lot. That made things so much easier. So it has been a good place to work that way. I have learned a ton, you know, all these little snippets of information that turn up in crossword puzzles. Now I'm afraid I won't be able to do crossword puzzles anymore. Just little things that... Like the sciences, you know, learning that certain things exist even, not necessarily anything about them, but just that, you know, there is something called quantum physics. You know, I don't know if I knew that before. So things like that have been wonderful.
What about, this actually goes back, I think, to the culture question, and I forgot to ask you. What about social things? Were you in a department that had a lot of, you know, social activities where birthdays recognized or...
Oh, gosh. That has...
Food an important part of your
food
department?
Good question. Yeah. And again, it hasn't always been, but the past few years, food is very important. We had a monthly birthday party, which involved a lot of food. And then that just got to be overwhelming. So then... And that was kind of spontaneous, which made it fun. Then one of the supervisors got involved and tried to legislate a monthly party on such and such a day for so and so at such and such a time, and that did not fly at all. Some people did not like that intervention and refused to partake, and then it all fell apart completely. But yeah, there were a lot of parties. Not very many parties outside of work. It was real hard, I think, to start a softball team or something like that. People didn't want to do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I personally, a lot of my oldest friends come from my years in the library. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I knew that. I thought that at least over the last few years that... the rumor was that if you needed a snack, you could usually find it down in technical services.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty true, right? Well, Barb, life outside of work. Describe your family. And my question was, how did you balance work and family? And you actually talked a little bit about that the flex time really made that easy. So did you not feel pressure then as a working mother?
Oh, gosh, I must be a bad mom, but no,
well,
I didn't. I never had a lot of experience with little kids. And from my point of view, I thought my son was a lot better off going to a babysitter where there were other kids than he would have been staying home with a mom who would rather be reading a book than doing anything. So he always was in some kind of daycare, and he learned independence, and he learned a tremendous amount that way.
Mm-hmm. What does he do now?
Now he's a senior at the university, majoring in linguistics. He's a bartender and a bouncer at State Street Brats. He's a bass player in a band. Very busy.
Uh-huh. Sounds like it. And your husband, is your husband retired?
My husband is not yet retired. He's planning on retiring in July of 2008. He is an ophthalmic photographer for University Hospitals and Clinics. Ophthalmic.
What is that?
He photographs retinas in your eye.
Oh.
Basically, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What activities outside of work do you enjoy?
Reading a book.
Do you have a special genre? Are you a mystery writer?
I'm a mystery reader.
Reader.
But that's not all I read. I just.
Do you have a favorite mystery writer?
Lots of them. No, I don't want to go there. That's too long.
Yeah.
I like to read. I like to go for walks on fall days. I like biking. I like sitting in a coffee shop with my friends. I like shopping with my friends. I like lots of things. You know, I like knitting, again, with friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just doing anything with a bunch of friends is really fun.
So do you have any immediate plans? I know that your retirement date, you said, is actually February, but you're off.
I'm on leave, yeah.
Do you have any immediate plans for retirement? Any?
You mean beyond Woodman's?
Beyond Woodman's or the local coffee shop?
My husband and I need to do a lot of work on our house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some things I can do before he retires, and the rest of it is going to take both of us, and it's going to take us a long time. We're currently trying to keep up two houses because his parents' house is also something of a problem, so nobody's house is looking real good. We need to spend more time on things like that. We would like to take some trips. I don't see us going to Europe. Well, I don't know, maybe Brazil one day, since I have a good friend who will be moving back to Brazil. But our son actually our 21-year-old son expressed an interest in taking a family vacation next summer when we're all free. And I don't really want to let that go past without, because I can't imagine there'll be many more of those. So things like that. Nothing firm. It's just the idea of being free that is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Okay, so my last question. Do you have any pets?
I do. We have two cats, Chuck and Linus.
Chuck and Linus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chuck is also known as the evil one.
I see. How long have they been with you?
Oh, 8. No, it must be 9 years. Maybe it's 8. 8 years. 8 years.
That ends my questions, Barb, but again, I don't want to turn off the recorder and unless there's anything else.
I can't think of a thing.
Well, thank you very much for doing this. I really appreciate it. It's taking a time off on a beautiful fall day when you could be out riding your bike or walking, so thank you.